You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, mighty men, women of God, we thank God for you on this morning. Happy New Year's. Praise God. I know I've been playing some stuff from prior. Praise God. So I want to make sure that I say Happy New Year's. So praise the Lord. I want to thank God for my beautiful wife for 33 plus years, going on 34. Praise God. Teresa Robinson, Pastor Teresa Robinson of Victory International Praise. You're listening to Kingdom Sound, a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise. I'm Thomas Robinson. And I have an awesome man of God. Praise God. You know, I'll just say I'm not going to delay the service any longer. Praise God. We're just going to go ahead and just bring him on. It's Bishop Larry Carter. Praise God.
Sanford.
Sanford. I don't want to say, you know, all those areas around, around Orlando. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so, hey, we're just going to go ahead and jump into it. Find out what the Lord is saying for 2024 in Jesus' name. All right. How you doing, man of God?
Go ahead. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I appreciate God for, once again, just the opportunity to be here with you, awesome man of God. I appreciate God for my wonderful wife. Our leaders under us, Pastor Rod and Pastor Gay. Sorry about that. Pastor Rod and Pastor Gay and Brevard. And just appreciate God for this opportunity. I don't know if you, coming into the new year, sometimes we're seeking God, just, okay, God, what is your plan for the upcoming year? And again, we get systematic with God, and we like it when God responds in those systems the way we're used to him doing something. Right. But every once in a while, God will flip the script on you, and this year, coming into 2024 is exactly what he did. We were just preparing and just crying out and wanting to hear and what the Spirit of the Lord was saying for the upcoming year. And God didn't deal with us regarding the upcoming year. So we're thinking, oh my God, these people are going to think that we don't have connection with God anymore. They're going to be looking at us funny because over the years we've seen God do what he says he was going to do in the times in which he said he was going to do them. So now we're like, oh my God, and we were not.
And I'm glad you're saying that because sometimes we like to put God in a box. And we think God do the same thing over and over the same way.
Yep, and we love him when he's God that we've figured out.
Yeah.
But the Bible lets us know that his ways are beyond figuring out. But God, I like this little section where when I ask, you speak. I love that. I don't like the silence of God. No, none of us like it when God is not saying anything for any prolonged period of time. So we just praying and crying out. And the thing that God gave to us, we didn't look at it as if it was enough. He started speaking to us with regards to repentance and relationship.
Oh, that's good.
So we're thinking, okay, Lord, what do you got to go with that? Because we need to be able to tell these people what's going to be going on in the first quarter, what's going to be going on in the second quarter, what's going to be going on in this specific month, what's going to be going on in politics, what's going to be going on in business. And we were just not comfortable with just talking about relationship and repentance. And that's where he left us.
But that is so good because a lot of times we don't understand repentance closes doors.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes the hold up is us.
Yes.
You know, and so when you're talking about starting to repent, you know, it shuts doors.
Yes.
And go ahead. I don't want to get
No. That's good. And I like that because not only does it shut doors in the natural, but it opens doors in the spiritual.
That's
because repentance is what gives us the capacity to reconnect.
That's right.
So we're going into the service, and we're going into the service, and he gave us a certain flow, and we were like, oh, come on, are you serious? So he told us that before the service started, don't deliver a message. We had this habit of waiting till the end to do Psalm 51 or come to the altar, repent. Right. He said, before you minister a word, I need you to open my altar.
Oh, wow.
So we had to do Psalm 51, everybody repeat verbatim. Then we went into prayer, and then we had the altar call in the beginning. And it was like, Lord, are you serious? Because we have to remember, this is one of the only times that people will come.
Yeah.
This is the only time. And before they need to comprehend all of That's the good. Other things, they need relationship. They That's need good. To know how to connect. And repentance is what draws them to be able to connect. Now, we weren't understanding this going in, but we were able to comprehend it as we were coming out. Because one of the things that God was dealing with us in is that we exalt, when we look at Psalm 23, we exalt, I shall not want, mm-hmm. over the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah, yeah.
We look at, I shall not want, and oftentimes when we pray, we don't pray from the standpoint of his posture being so much yeah. greater than my wants.
Yeah. yeah.
We say, Lord, you said I would not want. Okay, I did say that. But you have to understand that there's something greater than you shall not want, and that is him being shepherd.
Yeah.
So we had to get them to the place to where they would see, listen, more than him being able to reveal every day, every what's going to happen this year. See, it's not going to happen without relationship.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to connect to him, and that's how he started dealing with us. He started dealing with us from the standpoint of show my people how to connect, how to have relationship. Yeah. Because when we look out on the landscape, Apostle Thomas, I don't know if you noticed, there is a whole lot of shortcuts to Christ. I got a 3-day intercessory teaching that's going to teach you how to become an intercessor.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a 5-day prophetic class, yeah, and when yeah. you come out of this class, you're going to know how to prophesy. I got a 30-day training for you to become an apostle. So everybody wants the shortcuts, but nobody wants the relationship.
That's good.
What we're seeing now is the result of lack of relationship.
That's good.
The church is so reactive that we don't have relationship enough to pray ahead of time. We pray once something happens.
Yeah.
But God is God who is so awesome that if we have relationship, he can reveal what's going to happen before it happens. And also, relationship will push us into praying what he desires for us to pray.
In
so
the earth.
His will, not my will, because again, he's shepherd. And when we look at Psalms 23, he leads, he guides, he restores. These are all of the benefits that we have when we look at him as shepherd, when we connect to him through a relationship. Where when you look at sheep, Jesus says something, my sheep know my voice, a stranger they will not follow. The sheep are very confident in their shepherd.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So confident that you don't see sheep looking over their shoulder yeah. like, where's the wolf?
Yeah.
Where's the wolf? The sheep are confident enough to go, to follow, to be, because they know that that shepherd has a proven history of guiding them to where they need to be. We don't get the full benefit of Christ in our relationship because we don't have confidence yeah. that he's able.
That's right.
Because we lack relationship. Everybody is responding now to what they are seeing in the body of Christ, but nobody was proactive.
Yeah.
So it's easy to talk about stuff and how you disagree. Where was that disagreement before it happened?
Mm-hmm.
Where was all this prayer and I knew and all this stuff before it happened? Why were we not posturing ourselves in prayer during those periods of time leading up to this? Why? Because we forgot he's shepherd, and what we want is not, I want a bigger church, I want a bigger car, I want more members. No, he's shepherd. I want my marriage to work. I want my children to be obedient. I want these things to work out. Nope, he's shepherd. We're losing sight of the order in which yeah. everything else takes place.
Yeah.
So he was telling us, now is not the time to talk about what's coming. Now is the time to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a preparation phase for what's coming. And it was funny because normally I'm able to go back and I'll go back and I'll look at several of the people that we're connected to just to look at their messages and to see what they're teaching and to see what they're talking on, just so we can compare and go, okay, yeah, it was pretty solid. It was pretty solid. God wouldn't even allow me to do that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, even all the way up until Friday, I was passing through one of the sites, and then it said this was the word of the Lord for the year. And right as I was getting ready to click, the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't allow me to, because again, we can get sidetracked and distracted. And if God is saying something specific, we have to be willing to focus on what the Spirit of the Lord is specifically saying. We measure the Spirit of the Lord based on limited knowledge. When man gets a wind of knowledge and understanding of something, we lose sight of the fact that we still need God. Even though we still can't comprehend the depths or the measurements of space, we know a little bit. And out of the little bit we know, we have the nerve to think to ourselves, okay, science reveals everything we need to know. Science still has a bunch of blanks that they haven't filled in.
They haven't figured out what's under the sea.
They can't comprehend the depths of the beginning. And again, when you look at that, in the beginning, God, you can close the book from there. Because nobody that I know of, me and my wife have this thing. We walk and we ride and we're on 95 and we see these signs, these Buc-ee's signs. I don't know if you ever saw the Buc-ee's signs. And it says custom made ice or something like that. Or we created ice. And I was like, well, now that's one I would really like to see. First of all, they would have to create water. And I said, I would like to be there for that process, just to see how they made ice. No. You took what was already made in the beginning and used it to freeze it to a certain point and chip away at it. But we don't have the capacity, and that's where we get. So he's called us in this season to fiercely focus on relationship. Now listen, watch this.
What you're saying is so powerful. Yes. About a year ago, year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
I started telling the leaders in the church to stop waiting until after service. Pray at the beginning of the service. When we open up the service, let's pray and lead the people through repentance.
Yes.
Why? Because a lot of times people are coming in and they're dragging things into church with them. They're closed up. Sometimes it's like trying to preach to a closed door.
Yes.
And so it's so important. And we have gotten in the habit. We had gotten in the habit of doing it after the service, after they hear the message. Oh, glory to God! And there are some people that need it afterwards.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people that need it at the very beginning.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God! And so I would tell that who's ever praying that morning, and they know now. But who's ever praying that morning to lead the people and cry out and ask the Lord to forgive the people of sin? Close doors. We got to shut down. You know, there's sometimes so much activity in the church. You see, even though we come in and pray from 9 to 10, but then there are people that didn't participate in the prayer meeting. They're jumping straight up out of the bed. They're running to the church. Yes. They're dragging things in with them. Come on. And so we have that ability to say, hey, you know, let's shut the door. Why? Because repentance puts us in right standing with God.
Yes.
And a lot of times we're sitting up in the church and we got an audience full of people that are not in right standing with God. You know, even Jesus, when Jesus had people sitting out in the audience, a lot of Pharisees were sitting in the audience and stuff. And the Bible said they would be, you know, thinking things in their head. And the Bible said that Jesus knew their thoughts.
Yes.
He knew what they were thinking.
Yes.
He knew that that the word was bouncing off of them, that they weren't receiving it. He knew that the Bible talks about it, and I believe it's in Luke 6, that when he healed the man's withered hand, that they were full of madness. Madness. You could say something in the church do something in the church that would cause people to be full of madness. Wow. And if you have no discernment, you don't, you know, and there are some times that I'm literally, I stop and I say, I bind that thing in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, because guess what? What's in them or what followed them in there may rise up. Oh, glory to God. And we got to get to the point where, guess what? We're gonna shut this thing down at the door, leave the spirit at the door.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. One of the things, and I'm about to hand it back over to the man of God, but one of the things, who is that in Psalms 51 that you're talking about?
Yes.
Some Bible say that David asked for a willing spirit. Some Bible say a free spirit.
Yes.
There are sometimes we're sitting up in church and we don't have a willing spirit. You know, Jesus prayed about his will. We got to teach people to pray about their will. But also we need to ask God, there are times we need to ask God to free up our will that we can make decisions to serve God better.
Yes.
You know, sometimes our will are tied up. You know, when you look in, Jesus sent the apostles to loose that donkey. Come on, oh, glory to God. Sometimes we have the ability as apostles, bishops, intercessors to loose people from the things that they're tied to. That donkey was tied to the post. And so we have that ability to loose you from things that you're tied to and to bring you to Christ so that he could lord over your life and lead you, just like he led that donkey into Jerusalem, lead you to the house of God. Go ahead, man of God. I just want to throw that in there.
See how he do? See how he put all that in there? Then he tells them, go ahead.
I just want to throw
that. No.
Some preacher preaches so good, they make you want to preach.
But that was awesome when we look at the power of our prayer and how it opens doors, especially prayer of repentance. Repent for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now our time is much closer than when we first believed. So one of the things that we have to be able to do is to forerun as leaders, as apostles in the body of Christ. And we have to be able to teach people that their capacity is forerunning. Their prayer has the capacity to open doors. Their prayer has the capacity to shut down the kingdom of darkness and allow the word of God to be able to flow freely, that it would have free course and that it would be able to get in the hearts of men the way it's supposed to. When we look at Jesus, sometimes it's not that Jesus had to, but we oftentimes see Jesus pray.
Yeah.
Pray before he does the miracle. Not that I have to, but we see that prayer opens a door which allows a greater, I want to say, and again, this is me, I want to say that it gives it a greater capacity to operate, because we know that the power is not of us.
Right.
The power is strictly of God. I'm not praying because I believe that I have the ability or the power. I know that I'm praying because I believe that God has a greater power and authority.
You acknowledge
and
him.
I am acknowledging that. My repentance is also a means of acknowledging I can't get out this mess on my own. Mm-hmm. I am truly jacked up. The Apostle Paul just blows me away when he references himself as the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking to yourself, come on, Apostle Paul, come on, man. Really, that's what you're going to say? Because he has a story to tell, and he does not have to reference. But what we forget is all of us are just one step from. Mm-hmm. We could end up back where we were.
Right.
But because imagine that there was no repentance.
Yeah.
And once we messed up, we couldn't get back in. None of us would be here.
That's right.
David prays and says, hey, I need you to wash me and cleanse me of sins of omission and sins of commission. Some stuff I know I did. Some stuff I don't even realize I did, but it was still sin. And so if we didn't have the avenue of repentance and that ability for God to grant us access again into his presence, then we would not be able to be here. But because we have that capacity, it should be something that we take seriously.
You know, what you're saying is so powerful, man of God. You know, I was just at the at work the other day, and there was a lady that was struggling financially, a Christian lady that was came into the place of business. And one of the things, before I prayed for her, and I ministered to her about repentance, because sometimes we need to say, God, I'm sorry, because we've made bad financial decisions.
Yes.
We have not acknowledged the Lord in our financial decisions. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and it shall direct thy path.
Yep.
I have gone to church, and when the offering was getting ready to be taken up, the Lord has used me to lead people through the prayer of repentance before the offering. Sometimes we're not seeing a kickback or feedback or a return.
Yes.
On what we are putting in the offering tray, because guess what? There are things, doors that have been shut, come on, by the enemy, because they got a right to keep you impoverished because you have not said, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Come on. You have not said, I'm sorry for not being a tither, for not bringing tithes and offerings into God's house. You haven't said, I'm sorry because you've made terrible financial decisions. People spend so much time trying to figure it out and work it out on their own. I went to a church one night, and I led the people through repentance. They asked me to take the offering up. I'm go, oh, good. Let's repent. Wow. And the next day, come on, people got shopping. A person got a shopping trip. Come on, somebody took them shopping. They got a phone call and said, hey, the Lord told me to take you shopping. Another person got a cruise. Another person went home. His closet had done fell in. My God. And he needed money to pay a bill when he got to cleaning out the closet that morning. The money was in the bottom of the closet. What am I saying? The testimony sprung out for that simply from saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we forget to leave that part out. You're sitting around and you're eating five pork chops a day and you got health problems. There are sometimes that God is waiting on you to say, I repent. I'm sorry. I've been waiting on healing for 15 years. I repent. Yes. Come on. I acknowledge I have been doing this, eating this way, candy bars all in the... Wow. All up under your bed, all up under your pillow and stuff like this. There are times that people, it is not that God wants to withhold his promises. Mm-hmm. There's times that, guess what, if we don't shut this straight and get in right standing with God, you'll be right back in the same condition that you were in. But go ahead,
my
man.
God. Throw that in there. My God, and Apostle Thomas, yes, when we look at Psalm 51, only one can create, but we see the power of creative. We see the creative power of God, because David does not just say, God, take this heart and make it over again. He says, create in me a clean heart. So he says, God, I need you to go back to origins. I don't want any of what I currently have. The creative power doesn't take what's there. It takes what's not there. God takes what's not there and makes stuff. So David says, God, I don't want you to rework. I don't want to do over. He says, I need you to create in me a clean heart and renew a willing or a right spirit within me. Right. So he knew that there was only one who could create, but he knew that he didn't just want a makeover or a do-over. He wanted a start over. He wanted God to go back to the beginning, God, when it was just you and man communing. I need a heart that is clean. I need a heart that is pure. And there's too much stuff in this current one. And if you don't create another one, then I'll still flow with what's current in this one, which I am apt to mess up all over again. So I need you to do something supernatural. And he recognizes the supernatural ability of God to create a clean, a willing, a right heart within him so that he has the capacity to do. Boy, knew he should have been out to war.
You said, and I'm loving this because you're talking about the capacity, because sometimes we're so full of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to ask God to just, there are sometimes we need to ask God to empty us, empty, mm-hmm. fix our minds, fix the way we think. Sometimes we're in the problems that we are because, our thinking is jacked up.
Yes.
We haven't taken the time to renew our minds. Sometimes we got to, repent for we're repenting for our behavior, but mm-hmm. we need to ask God to fix it. Come on, fix the way I'm thinking.
Yes.
So you look at David and you can say that was a heart issue.
Yes.
That was a heart issue, especially you blew me away because you we can quote that scripture, mm-hmm. but he's like, create in me.
Mm-hmm.
To create something is something that has not been done before.
Come on.
If we were walking right now and someone created a car, it would be a new thing.
Yes, it would.
And there's sometimes that we need God to do a new thing mm-hmm. in our hearts.
Wow.
Come on. Oh, glory to God. Because some things we're bent on. Come on. It's iniquity. It's in us. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Grandmama behaved that way. Mama behaved that way. You're behaving that way, and stuff. And so sometimes it's like, okay, God, I need you to break this cycle, break this thing. Go ahead.
My God. I love that because, again, only God. And then on the flip side of that, not only God, but God, be the one to do what we desire for him to do. So, but God be the one to do what we desire to do. One of the things that I know I
tell you what, man of God, we got 2 minutes. Yeah, we're gonna yes. save and for the second broadcast. Yes. This is Monday. All glory to God. And Bishop Carter will be right back Tuesday. Bishop Carter, give us your location, address, and all of that stuff. Did you Sanford, call out your wife's name?
Yes, I did. Okay. Celeste Marie, you better believe it. But we're fellowshipping in Sanford at 720 Upsala Road. That's in Sanford on Sundays. And on Saturdays, we are at 215 Oak Street at 9 a.m. Services start there.
All right. That's praise God. Amen. And you got an email address, anything, if nope. anybody needs prayer? Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. This is Thomas Robinson. You've been listening to Kingdom Sound. I have Bishop Carter here with me. Praise God. We're located 250 North Babcock, wonderful city of Melbourne, Florida. Sunday morning service starts at 11 o'clock. You can join us for Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And we have intercessory prayer. People are getting healed in our prayer meeting. Amen. So we want to challenge you to come out and come to prayer from 9 until 10. Yeah. Amen. We love you. God bless you. And we will see you on tomorrow. Tune in. Tell somebody we're talking about some powerful things, what God is saying for 2024.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Again, those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI 57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question about sin. As Christians, we know the ongoing struggle with sin, and at times we even experience bitter defeat. Well, sometimes Christians come across passages like Hebrews 10:26, and the sorrow over sin turns to dread. It says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." John, help us out here. What's the writer getting at with that warning?
The book of Hebrews is full of warnings, Denny, from the beginning really to the end. And they are all directed at one particular group of people associated with that assembly, that church. Those were Jews who understood the gospel, who even may have believed in the truth of the gospel, but had not embraced the gospel. They knew it, but they were hanging on to their Judaism. Perhaps various reasons led them to do that. And all through the book of Hebrews, the writer, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is saying you have to move on to Christ. You have to come to Christ. You cannot go back. You cannot turn back. And here, this is really a climactic statement. If you go on sinning in the sense that you reject Christ and reject the gospel, there's no longer any other sacrifice for sins. Reject Christ, reject the cross, the resurrection, the gospel, and there is no other way. And you will have nothing left but a terrifying expectation of judgment and a fury of the fire that will consume.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from the book of Hebrews, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.